Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. There is no better place to be than in your presence. And Father, we thank you that through your Son, Jesus, you made that way possible, the way for us to enter into your throne room, to enter into the presence of the one who created us, to know him. Father, we thank you for loving us, for your unconditional, faithful love. Father, we appreciate your continual hand and direction on our lives, leading us forward in your plan and purpose for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we continue to lift up Pastor Bill and Donna at this time, and we are blessed this morning to have our dear brother, Bob Hawk, who's been with us before to minister the word of God to us, to encourage the body, and we believe for what the Lord's put on his heart. And so, Brother Bob, come on up and minister the word to us.
Good morning. It's so blessed to be with you. I am so honored to be in this house again, to join my family. You didn't know you were my family, huh? I believe we got the same daddy. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad that he rescued you and me? He brought us out of the darkness into the light for such a time as this. Aren't you so glad that this is the greatest hour known to mankind, and he chose you? I believe you're a royal priesthood. You might be a royal nation. Can you say amen? I believe you are. I hate to say this, but you're probably pretty peculiar as well. Is that correct? So in knowing that he has placed his hand upon you and called you unto himself, because I believe you have stepped into a zone of time, I'll say, in through what I believe is a threshold in a greatest season ever known to mankind. That season is harvest season. You were created in his image, in his likeness, to follow him, to listen to his voice, and to be led by his spirit. You all know these things. It's hard to teach in this church. You have one of the greatest teaching pastors that I've ever known. And understanding that whatever was past is past. Understanding that you and I have become new creations in Christ Jesus, and the old things are passed away. Not that we didn't learn from them, not that we didn't grow from them, not that we didn't have some great experiences, or maybe you're like me, maybe you had a few experiences you don't want to talk about. But I believe we've all done life, and that life up to this particular moment in time was preparation to prepare you for his purpose for your life. Preparation to prepare this church for divine purpose and the intentions of the heart of God. God's heart and his love for his church is so pure and so holy. He is so in love with you, my brother and sister. I trust you never question that. He's not one to run from, he's one to run to. He's one that is for you, not against you. He's the one who paid the ultimate price so that you could have a pure and holy relationship with the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? I felt that I had a word for this house today, and I believe it's for the corporate body. And I had asked, I had talked to your pastor, I talked to his lovely wife, and I just asked, I says, you know what, I would like to have a service that we could have communion. You understand Psalm 133? That place of the anointing that comes down from the head, runs down upon the the skirt, upon the paps, down upon the feet. We understand the anointed one is Jesus Christ. We understand that that anointing always breaks yokes, removes burdens, and sets captives free. But in Psalm 133, it talks about there, that place of unity, and I call you into the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of love and peace and joy and strength. And in knowing that, that place of unity, there God commanded. It wasn't a suggestion. It's like the great commandment, the great commission, not the great suggestion, I'd like you to do this. I believe this house is at work doing that. Can you say amen? If you're not, you need to join them and get her done, because I believe time is wrapping up. Did you all realize that? Yeah, I said you were born for such a time as this, and there's about to be a cracking. There's about to be an appearing. And if he tarries very long, I might not be here. I don't know about you, but when I'm done, I'll be checking out. When it's all good and done, I'll just say, you know what, adios, carry on, get her done. Can you say amen? But I absolutely have an urgency in my spirit that you and I, as God's people, were not only born for such a time as this, but we were prepared for this season with greater grace than I believe any individual up to this time has been able to receive. You understand that that grace is available to us, that grace is sufficient for us, and that grace gives us strength and weakness. That grace gives us the empowerment to do the will of God in our individual lives and in the corporate life of the church. Thank God for that amazing grace. Can you say amen? I so have come to a season in my own life where I have to depend on His grace more and more, because I seem to be getting more seasoned and seasoned more and more. Some of you probably could understand that. I used to be able to run the tops of the chairs. I choose not to do that today, all right, if that's okay with you. I won't make excuses, but I have gotten a little wiser as I've been seasoned. I trust you have as well. Can you say amen? So in understanding what I felt the Lord put in my heart was, at the end of the service, I'd asked Brother Shane, and I had the privilege of getting the okay from headquarters, all right? And in doing that, that we're going to receive communion, because I feel like, I don't know about you, I know some of you I don't know well, but I know you, this house well. I know this house by the Spirit. I know the call and purpose of this house. I know the vision of this house, and I don't mean that to be bragging on me. I mean that to be bragging on Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, I'll build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. And that church, this house, this local congregation is built, has been being built year after year after year, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and it's coming up to a season of, I believe, of what one of the greatest manifestations that God has ever done in the earth, and that is to bring the harvest in to this generation, to reap them and to bring them out of darkness into light. All right, can you say amen? Now understand, well, you say, well, that's up to the evangelist. No, it's not. Thank God for the evangelist. But I believe in the team ministry. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe in the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. I don't know about you. I need them all. Because I'm a work in progress. Maybe you've finished your job. Maybe you're just perfect, hunky-dory, and peachy keen. But understand one thing. We need to talk, because I'll talk you into something that you might not know. Can you say amen? In other words, I don't know it all, and I don't think you do either. All right, now don't get mad at me. I love you. You understand me? But you and I are going from faith to faith and glory to glory. You and I are on an ever-increasing intimate life with the Father God because of Jesus Christ and because of Him and His precious blood. Can you say amen? You and I were redeemed, and we were brought to what I believe is into the greatest kingdom known to mankind, and that's the kingdom of God. Amen. That kingdom came in the inside of you when you asked the King of Glory to come into your life. And he brought righteousness, he brought peace, and he brought something that you and I need more and more of, and that's the joy of the Lord. Righteousness, peace, and joy, the kingdom's within us. The King lives inside of you. My Bible says that greater is he who's in this house, in your life, if you're born again, if you've accepted him as your Lord, that greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. We see how nuts the world is. We see the confusion in the world. We see the political struggles. We see the deception and the corruption. We are watching end time events come unfolded right before our very eyes, understanding that God didn't make a mistake and call you to be in this house, to call you to be in this position, in this time and space. Can you say amen? In other words, you're right on time. And I don't know about you, but I believe each and every one of us are arrows in his quiver. And I know that he knows how to shoot arrows into the purpose, into the destination, into the divine intentions of the Father. So can you say, are you happy about that? You know, I never dreamed in all my life. I dreamed that I would be a businessman all my life. I dreamed that I'd have a chain of grocery stores, that I would have a meat reputation. I mean, some of the best meat in the whole planet. That was my dream. But something happened. It wasn't on the road to Damascus. It was on a country road in the woods in Hightown, Pennsylvania, when God interrupted this boy and brought him out of a drunken drug and stupor and brought him into a quickness and an awareness that God is alive. And I, through an aunt that told me, she says, when you see Bobby when he gets home from work, you tell him that Jesus is coming soon and he best get his act together. He better get his life prepared because Jesus is coming soon. In that week she passed, she met the Lord. Boy, you don't think that got my attention. Then a little boy about 5 years old that had been to a Baptist church and sitting in Sunday school and hearing the good news of the gospel said, Daddy, you know, you keep her up, you're going to hell. Well, that'll get your attention too, coming out of a little baby. And the sad part of it was, I knew it. I don't know about you, I'm glad to be born again. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad that he loved me before I was very lovable. And I know I'm not totally arrived yet, but I'm on the right road. How about you? I'd like to share some scripture with you. I know I have a time restraint, and I was in Turkey since the last time I seen you, and I liked it because there was no time restraint. You just go till they just, either they leave or they pass out on the floor. Amen. But they was hungry. I didn't see anybody pass out. Nobody left. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for that. I'd like you to go to 2 Peter. I'm going to read a chapter to you. This chapter is so precious to me. I want to talk about a sure word. See, I believe in prophetic utterance. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe that there's tongues and prophecy, that there's interpretation of tongues. I believe in the gifts of healing, the gifts of working in miracles. I believe in all the gifts. You understand me? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I believe you do too. But understanding, as you read your scriptures, you're going to find out when prophecy comes through an individual, whether that's me, it's in part. I thought it was the whole deal. No, you have a part. Can you say amen? In other words, I have a part to believe Philippians 4:19. You all know what that says. I have a part to pay in understanding what 2 Peter 2:24 says. You all know what that says. We have a part to walk holy as he is holy. If he said we could do it, we can do it. If he promised it, it will come to pass. But I have to do my part the same way you have to do your part. Our part's faith. But faith without works is what? Amen. We all know how to work our faith. Can you say amen? Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start, we're just going to read the chapter. Is that okay? All right. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Aren't you glad that it's not just added, it can be multiplied? According to his divine power, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. So there's no excuses. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Thank God for those promises. That by these, by what? By these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I know nobody in here has to deal with that, right? Just look straight ahead, smile, amen. And besides this, giving all diligence, add your what? Yeah, I need to add to my faith, virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love or charity. For if these things be in you, verse 8, and abound... God's a God of increase. Can you say amen? He's not the God going backwards. He's a God going forward. He says, and if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand there's more to be had? We haven't exhausted this word of God yet. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your... I want you to cross that out if you're allowed to write in your Bible. I give you permission. Your name. Right there where it says your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never, what? Huh. Never. How long is never? Forever. I know none of you are old enough to remember the Princess Bride. Oh, I'll get a few smiles. All right. My children had it memorized when they were young. And they'd act it out. Anyhow, that we won't go there, okay? For so the entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you in what? Now, I want you to remember that. In remembrance. Touch your neighbor and say, now, I want you to remember this. In remembrance of these things, though you know them. How many of you are like me? We know quite a bit, and I hate to say it, but maybe we ignored it, or maybe I'd like to say maybe we forgot it. How many understand when we hear, if we don't do, we only deceive who? Ourselves. This is not a time to be self-deceived. This is not a time not to walk in what I believe is discernment, discerning the seasons and the times in which we live in, discerning the hearts of humanity, discerning what you hear, what you see, discerning where you go and when to go there, when not to go there. This is a time and a season to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, in the right heart, right attitude, and walking in love. Can you say amen? Well, he says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I speak to this house, that this house is established in truth. There's pillars in this house that I honor you and I respect you and I'm very, very proud of you. I mean pillars. When the winds come and the storms blow and life seems to take place, they're standing upon what I believe is the solid rock of Revelation. Paul said it this way, these things don't move me. Can you say amen? In looking at this, he says, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now remember that, putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, the Apostle Peter here, he has some great experiences with the Lord, but now he's finished his course. He says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I would endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses. Wow, what a sight. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. I know he's your Jesus, but he's mine too. We have also a more sure word. Say sure word. See, you can build your life on the sure word of these scriptures. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Say, take heed. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, until the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Go with me to Numbers chapter 23. I want to talk about a sure word of prophecy. Remember in 23 of Numbers 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? Or as he has spoken, will he not make it good? In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, in the Amplified Bible, it says this, then saith the Lord to me, you have seen well, I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Mr. Webster in 1828, you're probably familiar with that particular dictionary here, as long as you have a Christian school. It says, my word to perform it. The word perform means to do. Boy, that was a tough one. To do, to execute, accomplish, and fulfill. As to perform a covenant, a promise, a contract, to perform a vow. I'm in process of performing a vow to a lovely little girl that I married when she was 18 years old. That was 51 years ago. That's a long time. Some of you guys here weren't even on the planet when I did that. And I'm still working on that. And you know what? Sometimes it's tough. You thought it was easy, didn't you? Huh? Well, maybe it is for you, but she's still working on me. Glory to God. Shane's smiling because he knows my wife. Amen. We are total opposites, all right? Just a heads up in case you don't know her. A sure word, I believe I heard the words, I'll be back. Okay? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who? I want this to ring in your ears today. But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, remember him. answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Revelation knowledge. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you'll bind in earth will be bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose in earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one as he was, that he was Jesus the Christ. Well, that's not what he's asking us today. He's asking us to tell everybody. Can you say amen? From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. Now, that's not what they wanted to hear, is it? And, glory to God for the and be risen or raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. I can identify with Peter very much because my mouth has got me in trouble at times. I know you guys are perfect and that's never happened to you. Just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. It took time to bridle this baby, all right? A lot of praying in tongues to bring her in the line. But he turned and said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't addressing Peter. He was addressing the spirit that was motivating Peter to say what he said. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. And they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. Thank God for that third day. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Now Matthew 20, verse 17, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said unto them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, mock and scourge him, to crucify him, and in the third day he will rise again. Go to Luke chapter 24. You're getting this, correct? We're talking about a sure word. Now on the first day of the week, verse 1, early in the morning, there were certain and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices that they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Wonder who they were, huh? Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth and said unto them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. Hallelujah. He is risen. Remember, now remember this, I want you to remember. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Say, I will remember his words to me and to our house of worship. Go to Acts chapter 1. Verse 1, the former account, if I made, O Theopas, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had presented himself alive after he had suffered by many infallible proofs, being seen of them during the 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which said, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father put in his own authority. But you shall receive power. Say power. I believe this is a Holy Ghost church. Is that correct? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in, to Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I think that would include York, Pennsylvania. I know it includes Titusville, Pennsylvania. A lot of people say, is that a city? No, it's a little town. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up. Behold, two men, here they are again, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, not a different Jesus, not the Jesus that the world portrays, but the Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Jesus who lives by his Spirit in your heart, in your life, the Jesus that is Lord over this fellowship, over you, over me, over our families, over our household, and over this great nation of United States of America. Can you shout amen in this house? This same Jesus was taken up from you in heaven. He will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. John 14:1, I'll be quick here. I know you all have something in the oven. Hopefully it doesn't burn up. Remember, I'll be back again and receive you to myself. Just say, I'll remember this. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. He will come again. The stage is being set. Are our hearts prepared? Are our lives in divine order? Are we standing complete and perfect in all the will of God? Are we walking worthy of the Lord? And are we being fully pleasing unto Him, doing the good works that He's called us to do? Those are questions that ring in my heart. I share those with you because I love you. This is not a time to play church. This is a time and season to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writing to the church here, he says in verse 13, But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we do believe that. Is that correct? Even so, God will bring with him those which sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those that are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. Hallelujah. Are we listening? And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, you know, when you see therefore, I remember some of the great teachers that were in the beginning of my walk, they'd always say, when you see therefore, find out what it's there for. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Luke 24, verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Aren't you glad? Your God is alive. Your Jesus is alive, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's ever living, making intercession for you and me, so our faith will not fail. And we will not quit until we've finished our course, until we've hit the mark of the call, the high calling of God that is upon each and every one of our life. You're an arrow in its aim for destiny, for divine purpose. The greatest thing that you and I could ever do in this life is to do the purposes of God and fulfill the will of God and hit the destination that he has called us individually to and us corporately to as his church. And you might as well shout amen in this Pentecostal house. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day will rise again. And they remembered his words. I'm going to ask you a question. What do you remember that he said to you? You don't have to give me an answer. What did he call you to? What did he ask of you? His word will not return void. But we have a part. And we must do it. We must do it. The time and season that you and I were born for is here. The greatest time and season on this whole planet, as far as I'm concerned. And God's counting on us. I said the Lord is counting on us. He's counting on the church to fulfill the vision, the purpose, and to carry this through no matter what. Shane, I'll ask you to come up if you would please. I'm going to read scripture when Shane's done so that we can receive communion together. And I am very honored to be in this house today, just so you know that, to have communion with you, my family.